What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Bucky Dent. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Bum hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 180. We're going to talk a little Bob Uecker, and then we sort of have a special announcement. The show is going to change a little bit. In some ways, it might be better and more dynamic, and we'll explain why, but we'll wait till the second half of the show for that. And it's exciting news for John, and it's actually going to be good news for the podcast if everything works out great. But, you know, Bob Uecker passes away at the age of 90, tons of tributes. And, you know, I thought as people listen to the podcast, Love Baseball, and if you're of anything close to our age, you knew who Bob Uecker was, but you had no idea why he was someone you should know. Right? I mean, like, it's not like it's, you know, when you see the Miller Lite commercials, you know who like Terry Bradshaw is, you know, like, because he won four Super Bowls with the Steelers. And you're like, who's this Bob Uecker guy? You didn't know who he was. And he was funny, but you're still like, why am I listening to this guy? And then obviously he did great. He did some stand-up comedy. He was on Johnny Carson. And then obviously he did Major League, which...
It's funny you say he was on Johnny Carson. I think he made almost like 100 appearances on the
Tonight
Show.
Was he on that much?
Yeah. Overall, I think across the Tonight Show platform. But yeah, can you imagine like the cred you get to have Johnny Carson have you come back like 70-something times?
He always had his buddies. If he liked you, he had you on. So yeah. Obviously he liked
you. Well, a lot of people like, you know, I've been listening to MLB. I listen to MLB radio a lot. And a lot of icons in baseball have died over the last year, right? But the amount of stories and tributes to Bob Uecker is just beyond what anybody has talked about as far as some of the big names that have gone. It's unbelievable. And one of the main things people said is he's one of the funniest people they've ever met in their life. He was insanely funny. Well, and his timing was amazing. Because like you said, you know, the movie Major League, but he was on television for like 10 seasons. He was on Mr. Belvedere.
That's right.
And he like owned that show. Like that's I remember right. watching that show and it
I
was
totally
like,
forgot
I watched
about
him
that.
And I'm like, why is this show called Mr. Belvedere? This dude's like the star of the show, right?
Yeah. But our buddy Dan Gaffney, he's a good friend of my morning show, Brian and Company, on WTIC News Talk 1080 here in Connecticut. He relayed the story about that Al Michaels told when he Uecker was doing a game with Howard Cosell, who Cosell didn't know a lot about baseball. And the way the story goes, basically Cosell talked about a situation that might call for a bunt late in the game, and Uecker was quick to say, "That's no." Like
there's too many. He was trying to explain the variables.
Yeah, he's not going
to
do that. And so Cosell said, "Uke, I get your point. You don't have to be so truculent. You do know what truculent means, don't you?" And then without a hesitation, Uecker responded, "Howard, if you owned a truck and I borrowed it, it would be a truculent."
It's great,
and
right?
And he did that off the top of his head. Yeah. I mean, that's real wit. And you know, my generation, our generation, I'm only a little bit older than you, John. Major League is where he became really a star to another generation.
Like, yeah.
The generation that watched Major League didn't watch The Tonight Show, right? So it sort of gave him legs. And
my first memory of him was on the Miller Lite commercials.
Which I'm going to do a snippet of that in a minute, but I'm going to start with Major League. We replayed a ton of stuff on our morning show, but this one in particular, if you don't know Major League, it's a story about the Cleveland Indians, the widow of the owner. The owner dies, and the woman who owns it, manages it, wants it to go in the tank so she can move it to Florida, and the team is terrible until it's not terrible, and Euchre, what's his name again?
Harry Doyle.
Harry Doyle is the announcer when they're terrible, and Charlie Sheen is
Ricky Vaughn.
Ricky Vaughn, and he's Wild Thing.
I think it's his first start.
Well, his nickname became Wild Thing,
yeah.
And he threw heat, but he couldn't find the strike zone, and so here's the snippet.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed. Ball four. Ball eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
So the just a bit outside is like legendary. How much do you use that with your kids or in wiffle ball or whatever?
All the time. All the time. And the funny thing is you're coaching a little league team and like the other fathers would laugh, right? Because you'd be like, you'd throw at me just a bit outside.
Everybody laughs.
All the parents in the dugout nearby would laugh and the kids would be like, But somehow it'd be funny to them, and then by the end of the season, you hear them saying it.
So, did your two boys ever watch the movie?
Yes, my younger one has never watched the full movie. He knows about it. The older one, who's a freshman in college, he's watched it, and they know again, they know of him, but they don't know his stature. They're too young. Like our generation is the ones who watch Major League, and we saw him in the Miller Lite commercials and on TV, but didn't see him on the Carson.
I mean, this is a guy who batted 200 in the majors.
Yeah.
I mean, he batted 200. He was terrible. And he became...
And his stats in the majors were actually slightly better than they were in the minors, I think.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a catcher where you could hide a bad hitter. Right? I mean, if you were a good catcher, you could have a job. The way, especially in the 60s and 70s, I mean, catchers didn't... I mean, like Bob Montgomery's of the world, they just didn't hit.
He made a thing out of being bad. Like, he was the biggest self-deprecator there was.
But I don't know the answer to this, and you may not, so maybe it's not good for this conversation, but when did he become known? Like, when you're a crappy player hitting 200 who becomes like a celebrity, how does that happen? Was it post game interviews? Was it stuff he did in the off season? I don't really understand.
I mean, I think it's probably just the fact that he was around enough people, right, that had the stature to be on commercials or whatever, and they realized what a talent he was. I mean, that would be my guess. I don't know. That's just off the top of my head, because from all the stuff I've read about him and heard about him in his early career, how could you not be attracted to a guy like that? I mean, he broadcast for 54 years.
Yeah, that's incredible.
54 years. It's nuts. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame for the Frick Award, right? Not as a player, obviously, but I mean, the guy's born in Milwaukee, winds up being drafted by Milwaukee, leaves and comes back, and then broadcasts for him for 54 years. I mean, they said after they basically knew it was his last game after they lost in the playoffs this year, and that Adames and Yelich and the acting GM at the time and the coach Pat Murphy, they were with him till like 5 a.m. after that game in the locker room, and they were just, after he had left, they were crying because they knew they'd probably never see him in the booth again because his health was failing.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm telling you, man, the amount of stories and the wall to wall on the MLB channels about Bob Euchre is nuts. I'm going to share one more story because I know you wanted to talk about the Miller Lite, but so one of the stories I heard about Bob Euchre was. Obviously, he's the color guy, right? He's doing the play-by-play, and every broadcast.
Wait, is he the color guy or the play-by-play? He's the color guy.
Yeah, and every broadcast is sponsored by someone. So the Milwaukee Brewers broadcast at the time was sponsored by, this is great, Wisconsin Dental Association, and the tagline was "The sign of a dentist who cares." So he would do this, and he'd be like, "This broadcast brought to you by Wisconsin Dental Association, the sign of a dentist." Who cares? And it got to the point where it dragged out so much where it was basically like the sign of a dentist, like, who cares? Like, who cares about it? And no one would say anything to him, and it got so much traction, and everyone was, it was such a buzz thing that it was actually benefiting the thing. But it was,
he butchered it so bad, it worked.
And that was just like him. That was just him in general. So.
Well, I mean, the Miller Lite thing, if you are not of a certain age, you were just coming of age, but basically Miller Lite commercials became like a repository of ex-athletes. And they had this thing, less filling or tastes great, and they would fight about it or whatever. And that was how...
Those commercials have just come back out recently in the last couple of years.
I mean, honestly, it was one of the best ad campaigns of the 20th century. I mean, it was unbelievably successful.
And they don't just ask anybody to do those.
No, but they're all ex-stars.
Right.
And he's not an ex-star. He's an ex-player.
Yeah.
And he obviously became so well-known for the ads that he got some of them on his own. And you talk about, like, just a bit outside is a phrase that you and I have used 1,000 times in our life. This one, the phrase that comes out of this one, and then you have to be of a certain age, gets a ton of traction too. Have a listen.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my light beer from Miller.
Down the clock!
I love them. These fans know I drink light because it's less filling and it tastes great. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong shape, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row. Come on.
Light beer from Miller. Everything you always wanted in a beer.
Good seats, hey, buddy? He missed the tag. He missed the tag.
I can't tell you how many times I've said, I must be in the front row. I mean, I've said that so many times. It's phenomenal. And he actually does a pretty good job acting. He's going down the row and he's looking right at the camera. And it just is and then he gets up in the seats where I said on my morning show, that's where you catch people, like at the Oakland A's game, having sex up in at the top of the upper deck.
It's amazing how someone could turn, like, him actual self, right? His perfect being of who he is and not change and turn that into a major icon. Yeah. I don't think that guy ever changed who he was. Like, even on Mr. Belvedere, and just Ben himself, like...
Well, I guess, you know, it's the people who know who they are and know what works. And it's like, I bring up the story, the quotation I read from Jimmy Buffett. You love him or hate him. He was asked the question, like, do you get sick of playing Margaritaville at every single concert? And his response was, it gave me this incredible life.
Yeah.
I'll play it every day. You know what I mean? And I think with Euchre, he knew what his brand was.
Right.
And it gave him this life. And I think that he embraced it as opposed to, you know, ran away from it. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. And the only thing I'll say, just to put a ribbon on it, I don't think we get – I hate to say this because it's an old person's thing to say. We don't get – we're not going to get someone like – we're not going to get that kind of cultural presence again.
And I was thinking about that when I was driving over this morning. Are we going to see that – presence in the booth? You lost the Vin Scully, you lost the Harry Carey, you lost the Bob Euchre. I mean, is there anybody, the John Sterling? Are there going to be people that are going to be able to carry that weight for 50 something years? I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't see it either. Maybe like a Joey Votto decides to be a broadcast. Like, he's got that kind of personality, maybe, but I don't see it either. And I see what, like, Boston, now they lose icons like Remy. They need 5 people. They can't find one person. There isn't one person.
It's amazing to just, it really is that the longevity, like, that to do that and to just to be at the top of your game. Like, I didn't even realize he was that old.
Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. But anyway, RIP Bob Euchre, passed away at the age of 90. Now, I want to get to something a little more personal here on the show, which is you. Now, you're starting a new job soon.
Yeah.
And it's actually going to be in Boston.
Yeah, believe it or not, the Yankee fan is heading to Boston. Who'd have thunk it, right?
You got to go to games, right?
Yeah, I'll definitely be going to games. I'll be bringing a whole new perspective to this podcast, that's for sure, because I'll be living in Boston. As of now, I'll be living up there probably like 4 days a week, and as this job progresses, I'm going to work hopefully into a more hybrid schedule. But yeah, if you would have told me even 3 months ago that... this was going to happen, I would have smacked you in the side of the face and be like, you're out of your mind. But man, life comes at you pretty quick. It
well,
does.
Obviously, you know, if you don't, if you haven't listened to us all the way through, John, you know, has had a career. He was a talented videographer and camera guy in the news for years and years and years. And most recently, he did production for a local TV station. And when it comes to, like, working hard, creating good products on TV, he's amazing, and there's still a market for you, which is something. In, are you 50 yet?
Yeah, I will turn 50 in 2 weeks.
What are we going to do?
I'll be in Boston by myself celebrating my 50th birthday. But actually, I'm going out to dinner with my with the wife and kids this weekend to celebrate. Okay. But yeah, so most recently I was working in marketing, right? So it's interesting. I worked at a local television station in Hartford, and we're owned by a bigger, obviously, conglomerate.
Media
conglomerate. So I became a product of, I guess what they call it, restructuring. I call it layoffs, right?
Yeah.
Layoffs. You can call it whatever you want, right?
But you got laid off.
305 of us across the whole company got laid off via Zoom. So I got called into a meeting with my...
Really?
Yeah, right? Via Zoom. So
that's
weak. It's so weak, right? But I guess when you're doing that many layoffs, you can't spread it, right? Oh. But the sad thing is like at the local level, right? We haven't had a GM at our station in ages. Like we had one, then he was here for a little while, and he was gone. So like I guess like what leadership was going to tell you, right?
Right?
When you don't have any leadership.
Right.
So that being said, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But you get laid off on a Monday on Zoom, November 17th. You get laid off, right? So you know I've been laid off before, and it's like
as have I.
It happens, right? The first time I happened, I was working for a university system and I got laid off. And the first thing I thought of, there goes the free college for my kids, right? The second time I get laid off, I'm like, all right, well, I got a freshman in college now that I'm paying for, that we're paying for. How do I pay for this kid to go to school, right? That's what your priorities are. So right away, you start looking for a new job. But you're also told that there's going to be reclassifications and opportunities for new employment within the company. But honestly, my mind was made up. Like literally right when I heard that, I was like, this is your wake up call to leave. This is your wake up call to just do something else. You had said to yourself when you got this job 2 years ago, almost three years ago, that you were going to do it for 2 years and start looking for a new job because you get the experience in the marketing and that kind of stuff. And you got comfortable. I got comfortable. And I wasn't pushing myself to look elsewhere. And this was my opportunity. So I said, I came home, I told my wife, I was like, I'm going to find a new job. That's it. That's how it's going to happen.
So, you know, there's a couple things that it says. One is, and this is where it's a broad conversation that's benefiting anyone listening, is number one, the power of relationships. You know, our former boss, you know, at the local NBC station, he called you up and said, I'm doing this. I need this. And so, like, when I tell my kids about this, too, it's like, you don't know what relationship in your life will make a difference, right? And so the call came to you at the perfect time, and that wouldn't happen if you didn't have a good relationship with this person.
Yeah.
And to me, that's number one. Number two, I think the circumstances, you know, I've been laid off a couple times myself, and, you know, there's layers to it. Number one is, I think it's the personal impact is one, and then the landscape of media is another one. Personally, even if it was a great relationship and it was totally not your fault, blah, 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 it's still difficult.
Yep.
And in your late 40s or early 50s, part of you is like, I might need to do something entirely different because I might not get another job.
100%. 100,000% that comes across your mind right away.
And that's hard.
Yeah. Like literally I was looking at jobs like I was like, oh, Aldi will pay $20 an hour. It's right down the road.
Right.
You got to keep the money coming in. There's no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no, like, for me, it's not like unemployment isn't an option. You take it, right? You've had it before, COVID, all that BS or whatever, getting laid off. But for me, it's like, you got to find a job and that's what you're going to do. But the other thing is you talk about relationships, right? I'll take that one step further, right? You get laid off November 17th. Not the best time to be looking for a job.
Right before the holidays.
Terrible. Like, I'm not saying woe is me. I don't care. I'm just thinking to myself, like, ain't nobody sitting around being like, oh, we need to hire some people by January 1st.
Right.
Stat, right? That's not happening. The company gave us 2 months notice, which is great. So today is officially my last day, right? So, but right away, I'm like, ain't nothing happening until January 10th if you're lucky, right? So, yes, I was super fortunate that a former boss of mine, a former colleague who's been on the show here, reached out to me with this job opportunity. But I will take that one step further, right? He basically thought, no way this guy's going to want to do this. He's going to come to Boston or whatever. Now, for my own reasons or whatever, I'll leave personal. My family has some connection to Boston. So there's not out of the realm that we could move our whole operation there within another couple of years.
Really?
You know, it can be done, right? My wife's company is up there. My kids are older. We can do it, right?
You've got to have that house forever.
Right. But that's all, like, we could sell that, right? We can move to Boston. We can make it happen. We're in the position now that we can make that happen. But we also have a kid in high school, right, that I'm not going to do that to. He's entrenched. So that aside, right, I get a call. Things happen fast, right? It happened really quick. I get a call out of nowhere. Oh, can you do a job interview this afternoon? For this job, I'm like, all right, what am I gonna say? No, I can't, right? Of course you say yes, so you figure it out. You make it work, right? So like a couple hours ahead of time, I reach out to the guy and I'm like, so who am I gonna be interviewing with for this job interview? I wanna know, I gotta do the LinkedIn search and I gotta do my research.
Do some prep.
Yeah, well, no big deal. A Pulitzer Prize winning author, the CFO, assistant to the owner of the company, and blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm thinking, oh, great, this is awesome. Like, the leadoff guy is a Pulitzer Prize winning author. Right. And
but you also, like, initially when you talked about the opportunity, you were like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go to Boston. Initially, you were like, this is not.
Right, exactly. But then I thought about it more and, what the job entails and everything. So anyways, the job interview starts. And of course, no one's always on time for these Zoom interviews. And the first guy is the Pulitzer Prize winning author, right? And I'm talking to him and we're just BSing at this point, just getting a feel for each other. And he says, oh, it says here that you worked at the University of Hartford. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I blah, blah, blah. I got laid off there. And he said, well, do you know X, Y, and Z? Do you know so-and-so? And I said, well, yeah, she was my boss. And he goes, oh, well, I used to work with her like 30 years ago in Buffalo. Really good friend of mine.
Instant connection.
So, like, we the whole interview goes, blah, 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 gets done. Interview went great. I talked with everybody. I had a good feel for it. When you have interviews, if you bombed it or whatever.
Right, right.
So right away, I text the person that I worked with at the University of Hartford, and I got, nothing back, which is kind of strange, but we text occasionally, right? Yeah. I know she normally would text back. Then I get I was on the other line with the other guy, and I'm just laughing because you guys are so much alike, it's scary that you would be so good working together. Wow. And I was like, wow, this is like...
But again, if you didn't have a good relationship with the guy from the school...
That's what I'm saying.
It would have killed it right there.
So if I left University of Hartford on bad terms, which I did, and I got laid off, and my boss didn't like me, they're gone. That opportunity just shot yourself in the foot. I would have never got the job.
Yeah. I do think, and again, like for every 99 times, personal connections and networking don't work. All you need is that one. It's all you need is that one. And for me, like, especially coming off of, I don't know, when I left MSNBC, I was crushed. And now that I reflect back on it, I need to take more responsibility for what happened, because I think that I did the minimum because I was so excited to be able to go home and see my kids every day, and I didn't work as hard as I could have. And so I bear some responsibility there. But I remember the thing I couldn't do is when I went to meet people and I'd been laid off, I didn't know how to spin it in a way that made me a compelling person to hire. I felt so insecure
right.
about what happened that I really, really struggled with like confidence and self-esteem and all these different things. And then, so I've always marveled at people that get out of a job and then get another one right away. Cause like emotionally, it was really difficult for me.
Yeah.
And I struggled. And then I just was fortunate that, when I left the Boston station, I just knew kind of what I wanted to pivot into, and I got really lucky too. And now, if it wasn't for like me having a good relationship with like a Joe D'Ambrosio who worked here, or even this guy Mike Ryan who went to my same college, who ended up becoming the president of the Connecticut Broadcasters Association, who saw Steve Salhaney, who runs the place, at their quarterly meetings,
right.
And he literally actively worked the situation for me. And I do think the number one thing is those relationships. The number two thing is the older you get, the harder it is. You talked about it off mic about when you're 25, you're like, I'll get another job tomorrow.
Exactly.
Now you're like, I'm never going to work again in this business.
But that's a real thought, though. I mean, I call it what you want, age discrimination or whatever. I mean, that's a big deal because, I'm going to be almost 50 years old, and to some people, I might be a dinosaur, right?
Right.
I mean, to me, I know I got a lot of miles left in the tank. But that's not the perception all the time. So the good thing is I got a job, right? The job is exciting, right? And it's weird because I said to my wife, I said, what's going to happen is I'm going to take this job and the other offers are going to start coming in, which they already started to. Right. But that being said, the job I'm going to be doing is called Director of Video Services, right?
It's a nice title.
It's a very good title. And it's a good – it's with – I'll say it's Regan Communications Group in Boston.
Which is a famous brand in – the marketing business.
Yeah, they got deep roots. They got a lot of clients, and they got a lot of business. So the good thing about this job for me is it's going to be doing what I like to do. It's going to be doing a lot of video shooting, editing. Writing is not like I'm not a great writer. I'm a good thought person, and I could tell you what I like, but I'm not a great writer, right? And I worked on that hard when I worked in marketing. But, you know, it's hard, right? It's not easy to be a great writer. But this job will afford me to kind of more showcase my talents more.
First of all, at about to be 50, that's an awesome opportunity. And obviously it'll be hard to be a little bit more separated from your family, but also you can really focus on the job. And, you know, I know for me, the temptation to go out would be one thing, but you know, with your sobriety too, it's just you're going to kill it. You're going to really, really kill it.
So it's interesting you say that. I automatically think, you know, as you get older, you think family, right? Like I said, I thought about how do I pay for my kids' college, or how do we pay for our kids' college? But I have a kid that's home now, right? He's in college, high school, but they're high school kids, right? They do their own thing, but I still won't be there all the time.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, you know, my wife works a lot. So our relationship, like we're always together, but we're apart, right? So that's not a big deal for me. Like I know she's going to be there. I'm going to be there. That's not an issue, right? Because she works a lot. Like that part is kind of going to be easy.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
For me, it's going to be my day-to-day is going to change. The 2.5 mile, 3 mile walk every morning with the dogs. Yeah. Just the stuff around the house that I do, my routine. You know, I have to change that, and other people are going to have to change that. And, you know, animals, people, whoever, we have to adapt, right? And that's just how it's going to have to be.
More is going to fall on your son and your wife at home.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this, like, can't you, like, one night a week just, like, come home a little early and then get up extra early and
stuff. Oh, yeah, there are definitely going to be opportunities. I mean, they got tentacles everywhere. They got offices in Connecticut. There's opportunity. But again, like I'm not walking into a job and be like, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm taking off at 3 o'clock. You know, right. you gotta prove yourself. You gotta
earn that flexibility.
You gotta earn that flexibility. And I'm excited. It's going to be different. I'm not going to change the way I am. I'm going to walk around Boston with Yankee stuff. So that should be interesting. We'll be bringing a whole new perspective to the show.
We'll
but
see the next time you get punched.
I've already looked at the schedule and looked at what single tickets are for Sox games. And I can go to some pretty nice games midweek in Boston. Very cheap above the dugout. I like that.
That's awesome.
You know?
I do want to point out to people, this is the last thing, then we got to go, is that we're efforting through Odyssey because we have stations in Boston. I think the question is what happens to the podcast? And obviously it's much better when we're looking at each other face to face, although we could also like do it on Zoom at the same time so I can see your face. But the bottom line is we're going to try to secure a studio space in Boston. So it's going to be a multi-city podcast, whereas you'll be able to give a lot of insight out of Boston. You'll still follow the Yankees the same as you always do, but you'll have a lot of insight in Boston, and hopefully we'll set up in a professional radio space, and then maybe even I'll come up there and we'll do the podcast in person, you know, at one of the Odyssey.
Yeah, I think the possibilities for us, you know, going forward are going to be good, right? It's going to have a whole new perspective, and we got to make it work, you know, like just like I got to make it work at home.
We will figure it out.
We will figure it out.
Congratulations, John.
Thank you. I'm excited. It will be a change. Change is good sometimes, though.
Yeah, I think it keeps you young.
Yeah.
And that's important. By the way, next week we will sit down with Dominic Rivers. He was on before. He's an original Roto baseball guy. He also – remember that story he told about he worked on – he was trying to get into baseball and worked on an arbitration case. And he just loves baseball. He's a –
self-proclaimed biggest Reds fan. No, I'm just kidding.
But he is a legit fan.
Yeah.
He was a new junior with me when I went to boarding school, and we lived in a small house with 12 other guys, and we became very, very close. And he was like, it was a big jock dorm, and he is not a jock.
Yeah.
And but he loves sports, so he fit right in.
He lives in Colorado.
Yep.
And probably one of the most beautiful stadiums in baseball.
It's a little too big for my taste.
It's pretty. It's nice.
It's a good spot. So we're going to talk about Rockies Yard Goats, Red Sox Yankees, as well as the Cincinnati Reds. So that's next week. Until then, we'll see you on Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam
on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.